Let us read responsive reading number 26. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people.
The Lord is great, and great to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength.
Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come unto his holy.
O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth.
Say among the heathen, let the Lord reign.
The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord.
For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth.
Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, us into thy presence as we bow before thee. Forgive us all our sins. Remove our transgressions from us, we petition thee. And endow us with thy Spirit, that we may truly know thee and lovingly serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our speaker this morning is Mr. John Divers, who is a native of Virginia a graduate of the University of Virginia and the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. I was privileged to become acquainted with Mr. Divers during the overlapping of our careers at Louisville Seminary. He is currently enrolled in the THM program here at Southeastern. Mr. Divers served for 10 years in Virginia as pastor, and since 1965 he has been a missionary to Argentina under appointment of our own Foreign Mission Board. He is married to the former Mary Evelyn Hensley of North Carolina. They have two children, Jeffrey 10 and Ellen 8. We count it an unusual privilege to have him to speak to us this morning.
Dr. Mission. I had warning last spring that I would be speaking in Seminary Chapel. And frankly, before I enrolled here, I had never expected that opportunity. And I had not coveted that opportunity for reasons that some of you here might intuit if you have been in the same position when you were here for the first time. But I do appreciate the privilege and the opportunity to share these moments of worship and reflection with you. When it came to deciding what to say in this singular opportunity, it seemed most appropriate to me that I would speak in relation to my own involvement in foreign missions. Perhaps you expected that. So what I want to do in these few minutes is to make a frank appeal young ministers and their wives and those not so young, and to the young women who are preparing themselves for Christian ministry, a frank appeal to make foreign missions a live option for your ministry. Now, I doubt if there are many here who would deny that the Church of Jesus Christ has a world task, that is, it is a servant of the Word, and Christians are servants to the world. My thesis is that a man or woman's commitment to Jesus Christ and a response to him in going into vocational Christian service is a call or is a blank check. And it very well may be that God may fill that check in to the sum of foreign missions. Now let me enter a disclaimer at the beginning. I do not believe that foreign missions is the only aspect or the most important aspect of the Church's worldwide task. I do not believe it is more or less important than the Church's ministry in the local community or in the homeland. But I would submit that it is just as important and just as much a part of our worldwide task as Southern Baptist Christians. And in order to meet beforehand some of the objections to foreign mission service, and of course we would not have time to deal with those, I would like to put this message and this foreign mission calling in the context of disenchantment, which is more or less a current mood universally. Because there is disenchantment with the institutional church and with the pastorate as a calling. There is disenchantment with the church's formulation of the gospel in a world come of age. And along with it, there is disenchantment with the foreign mission enterprise for various reasons, for legitimate reasons. There are valid criticisms of the foreign mission task, just as there are valid criticisms of the church as an institution and the other reasons for disenchantment across the whole spectrum of the Christian faith and ministry. So saying that, I'm saying that disenchantment with the foreign mission enterprise is not enough to eliminate it out of hand as a valid expression of the church's ministry or as a live option for Christian calling among those who are preparing themselves for Christian service. Because while loving and unloving critics diagnose the institutional church as an ailing and dying institution, pastors, ministers, and laymen, the people of God, are called to labor lovingly within that institution in the hope and prayer that God may yet find it a ready instrument in his hands for world redemption. And while some theologians, as servants of the church, are seeking to reformulate the message of the church for the modern mood where even the existence of God is doubted, the same theologians or other theologians, both teachers and pastors, are trying to explicate the Christian faith, which says that God not only exists, but that he has spoken a saving word and that there's a universal salvation that he has provided in Jesus Christ. And we are called to proclaim it. And while some foreign missionaries and some boards and certainly foreign national Christian leaders are saying, missionary, go home, there are some denominational boards and some missionaries who feel that God has called them into his world redemptive purpose, that they have a ministry and a place to fulfill in a foreign land. So while we seek to reformulate the Christian message to speak to modern man, and while we look for new forms of ministry that will bring renewal to the church, and while we revamp missionary strategy and methods, there is still a continuing task that the church has. The show has to go on, so to speak, even while we are working and praying and hoping that the performance will improve. So my concern this morning is with this continuing task that still lies with Christ Church, and it lies with Southern Baptists as part of Christ Church, Christ's body. Because there's a need at the present time for young men and women to involve themselves, to participate in the world mission enterprise as foreign missionaries. And that need will continue for no one knows how many years, but it is a live option and a need of the moment for those who will give themselves to foreign mission service as the fulfillment of their calling to Christian ministry. Now, where does a man receive his calling? Most of us receive it in the denominational heritage that we have. I dare say that most of us present this morning received our calling to Christian ministry in the Southern Baptist denomination, in Southern Baptist churches. So that our understanding of what that call means is shaped by Southern Baptist patterns of thought, their theology, and all the rest. Now, Southern Baptists are engaged in the foreign mission enterprise. For instance, I'm one of 2,500 foreign missionaries that our Southern Baptist Convention, our Southern Baptist churches, are supporting in over 75 countries. And this is part of an overall strategic advance on the part of the foreign mission enterprise to have 5,000 missionaries, to appoint 5,000 missionaries by 1980. We may reach that, we may not. But within the context of Southern Baptist ministry and Southern Baptist world mission enterprise, there is a place and a need for those who will respond to God's calling to the foreign mission task. How does a man conceive of his calling to Christian ministry? I'm speaking to those who felt a call to prepare themselves for serving Christ in church-related vocations or in the old term full-time service, which is the way many of us receive that calling. We respond in terms, as I said, of what we know as Southern Baptists. Now, it's a fact that many of the foreign missionaries, Southern Baptist missionaries that are serving in foreign countries today, received their sense of calling to foreign missions while they were members of the Royal Ambassadors or the Girls Auxiliary. That is, when foreign missions was presented to them as a live option for their life dedication. I also know as a fact that many men and women, I suppose, have grown up in churches where there were no RAs and no GAs. And so their understanding of their call to ministry was thereby limited, not of their own desire. Others of us grew up in church that has all the organizations, but for various reasons, we never participate and are never informed. And so when we respond to a call to Christian ministry, we have to respond in terms of what we know. And so that many times the foreign mission aspect is hidden from our view. My call to the Christian ministry came as yours came in many respects. Growing up in Southern Baptist life, maybe actively involved or marginally involved, and some of you have been in both, are in both categories. But when a man faces, a woman faces what it means to respond with his life to Jesus Christ and feels the need, the calling, however you might express it, to give himself in Christ's ministry through the church, there's an opening of his life to the Spirit of God to work and to lead. Now, if that calling comes without prior information, without prior inspiration in regard to the foreign missionary enterprise, your understanding of that call to ministry will be limited by the patterns that you know, and it may be to the pastorate. That's what I felt when I looked for a way to express my commitment to Christ. The way I saw, limited as it was to the pastorate, to be a Christian minister. And that's the way I responded. But following on the heels of that, I went to a summer assembly, a training union assembly in Virginia. And at that meeting, Dr. Cal Guy of Southwestern Seminary, professor of missions, gave a talk on and an appeal for young men and women to consider foreign missions as their calling. And he did it on this basis. He said, he showed at that time that there were 500 ordained ministers serving in the foreign fields. And he compared that to 25,000 ministers who were serving Southern Baptist churches. And comparing the population of the Baptist South with the population, the world population, he posed the question whether or not Southern Baptist ministers had misconstrued what a calling to foreign missionary service was, and left us with the question, is not, and these are not his words, I don't remember his exact words, but this is the gist of it, is not the call to Christian ministry an open-ended call that includes from the beginning the call to foreign mission service? And maybe on the basis of the world's needs and the need for workers in that enterprise. Well, it seemed logical to me. And on the basis of that presentation, where I received a new insight, where I understood the calling to the Christian ministry in a new light, I made a commitment to foreign missions, if God so led me. And later on in seminary, I made a public commitment to foreign mission service, a commitment which took me a few years to arrive at, of which I found, in which I found an open door, and so God led me and my wife into foreign mission service. And no man's particular calling is valid for another, I know that. But I submit, on the basis of my own personal experience, that there is a possibility for you of a calling to foreign mission service. And I would ask you, not knowing how the thinking of this generation of theological students is, or what your preparation is, to ask you, how do you conceive your call to ministry? Has it been an open-ended thing? Or have, for reasons that I mentioned, has your call to ministry been delimited to preaching the gospel in America, serving as pastor of a Southern Baptist church, teaching theology in a college or seminary in the States? Or has your calling from the beginning included the foreign mission task that is still the church's, in which Southern Baptists are actively involved, and where Southern Baptists see that this is a valid aspect of the church's total task? As I said in the beginning, this is a frank appeal for young men and women to consider foreign missions as a live option for ministry. Personal testimony is, I suppose, the only unique thing that anyone can say in a singular opportunity like this. And I offer that personal testimony for what it's worth to you as another factor in your thinking as you continue your preparation for serving Christ and His church. Let us pray. Our Lord God, we pray that Thy Spirit may fill us and guide us as we seek Thy leadership in all aspects of life. We pray, O God, that You may renew the life of Your church, renew the life of Southern Baptists. Help us to find new and more adequate forms of ministry in Jesus' name. Help us to be moved by that same Spirit to dedicate ourselves more fully to the task. And as we make our prayer in Jesus' name, we pray also that You might forgive us our sins, because we live by Thy grace. Accept our grateful praise. We ask it in Jesus' name.